right, guys. We are going to be waiting here. I think Chris Lukey is going to join in a second. So I've been running my camera on battery power, actually, when I was plugging. So it has a micro USB charging port. Also helps, you know, connect the camera to the computer, but you can charge using that micro USB charging port. And so I think while I was charging it while recording, that extra power and current basically caused it to overheat. So I've just been running on battery and I'm at 16% now. So I might want to change the battery here pretty soon. And I might want to get another beer so I can have a beer with Chris Lukey, who's joining next here in a couple minutes. Chris, if you're watching this, hop in. If you guys are joining the live stream, thank you guys for watching. If you guys have any questions, feel free to leave them in the comments. I'm thinking about making this live stream maybe like a monthly thing where, you know, maybe once a month we do a 12 to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, you know, Friday afternoon podcast. I think it makes it really easy for people to watch, you know, Friday evening, maybe, you know, afternoon, maybe people are getting off work early or maybe they have Fridays off. I think Friday is a really good time. It's cool for me, and batch creating these podcasts like this really helps. I think increase the information that we get, right? Increasing collaboration, increasing our network, you know, all these people that are crossing paths, maybe connect on LinkedIn, you know, they can get their own little micro content video that I'll share. I've been doing daily podcasts on the Zach Scriven podcast LinkedIn page, posting it daily to Anchor, anchor.fm. That's where you guys can listen to this Zach Scriven podcast, or you guys already are listening to it. If you guys are listening to it on iTunes, make sure to drop a review. That would help out. Yeah, so, and it's just really convenient using Calendly to set up the times. So I just create a block of time and set 15-minute appointment interviews, send that link to a number of people that want to join or that I want to join or that have asked to join. And I just keep a list of those people. I send them the link and those that are able to book their interviews. And then after that, I just maybe make it public. And from there, it gets filled up pretty quickly. I didn't actually do that for this Industry 4.0 themed podcast because I was just trying to keep it mostly focused on Industry 4.0 professionals. But, you know, maybe that's not the best strategy, because technically everyone uses Industry 4.0 because we are all consumers of the benefits of that technology. So I think we all have something to provide. You know, Ian Reed said this. He's like, okay, you know, because Ian Reed is the British guy who commented on some of my videos in the negative way, but then also, you know, gave me some pointers as far as valuable feedback. What he said was, he's like, I kind of like, all right, you know, well, once you make a video, then, you know, then we'll talk, right? Like, he said, well, why do I have to be making of a video to have an opinion on it, right? I'm consuming your video. I'm watching videos, right? Why do I have to make a video to have feedback? And I'm like, oh, wow, that's a really great point, right? Unless I'm limiting myself to an audience that only creates videos, why would I want to do that? My primary target audience is someone who maybe has never created a video before, but then wants to or starts creating video. So why would I want to not listen to someone's feedback who just because they'd never made a video? So that was an interesting insight. Components of Industry 4.0. Industry 4.0 drivers. Let's talk about Industry 4.0 drivers. Digitalization and integration of vertical and horizontal value chains. Interesting. That makes sense. So the horizontal integration of value chains would be like, you know, your supplier for, let's say, corn, and you're in a tortilla manufacturer. You have a raw material supplier for corn that they automatically get an order placed for more corn when your bin runs low, right? Maybe that's less than 10% or whatever, less than 500 pounds or whatever, right? There's that system in place that just automatically orders it. So I think that would be like a horizontal integration of value chains. A vertical integration, or no, maybe that's vertical, right? Vertical integration would be like in oil and gas. A vertical integration of value chains would be like from the oil well itself, or maybe even prior to that, like into the drilling, collecting the data from the drilling in through the operations of the well, through the saltwater disposal tanks and the tank batteries that handle the well, through the pipelines and trucks that transport the oil to the refineries that process the oil, or maybe even more upstream of that, like the sand plants that manufacture the sand for the hydraulic fracking, like some companies even own that, right? Or they own the water infrastructure for the fracking fluid. I've worked with a customer that had that, right? They were a completely vertically integrated oil and gas operations. They were doing a digital transformation. They were doing SCADA. I worked on that project. It was an Ignition project, one of the largest projects, Ignition projects in the world. I specifically worked on the tag database, tag engine. I worked on some of the screens and tagging and just overall, you know, some of the scripts for the indirection of the screens. But really, I think my biggest contribution was, you know, maybe helping some of the engineers out, getting a little bit more up to speed with Ignition, but also developing the tag database management for these millions of tags, the architecture to help create those tags in Ignition and apply those properties and make sure that none of that data was like missed, or that if we deleted all the tags, we could just, with a press of a button, just create all the tags again with all those properties, right? Because manual overrides, I realized, I'm like, well, I'm not overriding a million tags, right? We need, and because a lot of these tank batteries and oil wells were like done by different companies. Like maybe they had acquired another company. So there was no standardization at like the edge layer. So we had to standardize that, with this particular case, they were not using MQTT yet. I believe they are now, but they were using OPC and direct polling. So they had to maintain those addresses and those tag paths. And so to be able to organize that, we had no choice but to create a database to manage it, single source of truth, and then scripts to apply those database tags to Ignition with all their OPC item paths and everything like that. It's also Kepware as well too. But I didn't work as much on the Kepware integration. But yeah, I mean, now Kepware you can configure with an API. And I think a major reason behind that integration with Kepware and the development of that API was for, if not specifically that project, like projects like that, right? Where you're using the SCADA itself to like kind of manually configure. Now with MQTT and SparkplugB, like all that's kind of changing. But Chris Lukey, what's up, man?
I saw that you had a beer already. I feel ill-prepared because I don't have a beverage in front of me.
Dude, I mean, how could I not with the manufacturing happy hour, dude?
I suppose that's true. I suppose that's true. I will be having a double IPA later this afternoon I get my workout in, though. So it is on the agenda of things to get done.
So as far as San Francisco meetup with you on the road trip is still up in the air, depending on whether or not you are able to meet, get your standby passes, or how's that plan evolving?
Correct. Well, I'm supposed to be in Montreal for a beer festival, kind of doing the other half of what I do. So I'm committed to being there that weekend, but I might bail on that trip and just take the weekend at home. So that's kind of what I'm trying to figure out right now, if I can, if there's a way to get out of that. So I'm going to keep you posted. One way or another, we'll get you hooked up with someone here in the Bay Area, even if it's not me.
Okay. Ideally we could hook me up with someone in Milwaukee. That'd be really cool.
Yes. That getting you with someone in Milwaukee shouldn't be a problem. There should be
the clock tower may be more difficult or maybe not.
I mean, it might be doable actually. I mean, don't count yourself out. There are a couple other pretty cool locations in that headquarters spot. Yeah, though, if we can't get
anywhere
the
in the headquarters, tower. I'm super stoked for it. Maybe there's an event going on. I'm going to be in Milwaukee September 13th. So, dear Rockwell, if we could have a legitimate interview in the headquarters of Rockwell Automation, you know, in Milwaukee for the Industry 4.0 road trip documentary that I'm filming, it'd be really cool to have, you know, Rockwell's take on Industry 4.0 and the way things are headed, and really just help tell that story of, you know, Rockwell from where they started back at the, you know, Allen Bradley and
Do you know Anthony Jones by chance? Are you connected with him on LinkedIn? I feel
possibly.
Like you would be, if I was going to say, if not, you should be. He's he would be my go-to to talk to try to navigate who would be the right person to talk to.
I think Kyle Reiser is in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. If I'm not, and I did.
Kyle's in Cleveland. Kyle's in Cleveland, but Kyle would also know people in Milwaukee too. So he would be another resource to talk to. But
I used to know someone in their digital marketing, but I think she no longer works there. So she gave me a tour. Actually, I was in Milwaukee last. And I'm probably not getting her in trouble now because she doesn't work there anyways, but I was just like, I was in Milwaukee for LinkedIn Local Milwaukee last year, and I was like, oh, I want to go to the headquarters. So I lifted over there, and I just was like, all right, let me look for my connections and see who's at Rockwell. And I just sent a random, LinkedIn message, because I at that time they were still doing construction. So like there was like this separate main entrance. And so they're like, oh no, like, who are you here with? I'm like, I don't know. So luckily she came down, met me, and was able to, we didn't do any video or anything like that, but we did do just, she gave me a little tour. Possibly even took me up to the clock tower.
Yeah.
But really what I'm thinking of is like with some drone shots and just some, it'll really help kind of tie in the story of physically traveling to each one of these places and then bringing it, tying that right into the interview of those sound bites or those key talking points from each one of those interviews.
I'm just going to send Anthony an intro and copy you on it. That'll be the easiest thing to do. I think he can quarterback that type of thing. You said September 13th is when you'll be there?
Yeah. And I think now actually what I'm doing is I'm going to be going to Chicago and then potentially just going up to Milwaukee for that day. So
that makes
sense. Each major city that I'm going to, I'm planning like a public meetup, a LinkedIn local or LinkedIn influencer meetup. And so I'm going to release that schedule on the 19th. So that'll be like golden, right? So like I have paid interviews from the sponsors. Uh-huh. So I have to, you know, schedule those and those will be good. But the public interviews, I'm almost more beholden to, because like when I tell my audience or my fans or just the industry that want to meet up, like I got to be there, right? So I'm going to be like, all right. So for example, San Francisco, I already know this. It's September 2nd, Monday, September 2nd from 12 to 1 at Starbucks in downtown. I don't know the exact Starbucks, but I will release those details. But for me, that's the easiest thing, because then even if no one shows up, the worst that happens is like, I get coffee and lunch or whatever.
Exactly. You're not losing any time at that point. You're not losing cost either.
Yeah. Because I'm definitely going to be, you know, there's people in every city that I'm going to, they're like, hey, let's meet up. So I'm like, I can't, you know, do that for 10 different people because the time just doesn't permit for it. So just trying to group those together and then be able to collaborate, do video, or maybe even do a little interview with, if it's pertinent to Industry 4.0. And have that be part of the documentary or just part of the story, the travel story itself. The documentary is very much about making the documentary too, right? It's about the journey.
Sure. That makes sense. Well, I don't see there being any challenge of getting you in front of someone in Milwaukee. Like that should come together pretty easily, I would think. And guys like Anthony Jones, Caitlin Paddock, they're pretty, pretty proactive on those type of things.
Awesome. I think it'll be really cool because it is very much just a community focused thing. It's not really partial to anyone. I mean, obviously I have sponsors, but the sponsors are really system integrators. It's the kind of how it worked out. There's actually a Miller Resource Group. They're like a recruiting firm based out of Chicago. So
yep, I know.
But they're focused on Gary Miller.
I know Garrett. I'm connected.
Oh,
with
no,
Gary.
Yeah, I know you had him on your happy hour, or he's in the manufacturing happy hour community.
He came. Yeah, he's in our community. He came to our event. Michael Sullivan, Sully. There yeah, that's it. That's Sully, I know yep. over there pretty well.
Yeah, yeah, so that's really cool.
He's a good guy. Yeah, they run a good group over there. They're pretty proactive. Like when I know a company is looking for someone, I'll usually recommend them right off the bat.
Yeah. So like as far as the big players, I almost kind of view them as like a utility or a like a utility. Like that's why I'm not really accepting any sponsorship money from Rockwell or Aviva or Siemens. Like I, even though I am reaching out and getting their perspectives on it, I'm not accepting any sponsorship money. Like I said, those are mostly the system integrators, which by and large, all the system integrators out there today are working with all of those products, right? They'll do inductive or Rockwell or Siemens or, you know, kind of whatever the customer is looking for. So they're really just looking to get their name out there. And I'm really looking towards the big three, Aviva, Schneider, you know, Siemens. Someone mentioned like, why didn't you have ABB? I'm like, well, I don't know. I didn't really ever think of ABB, you know, because in my world with the PLC and automation, it's really been kind of those people. ABB is a lot more prevalent in like DCS or maybe building automation, but still industrial.
Well, you're totally right. I mean, they did just purchase B&R to have kind of one of those smaller, you know, more discrete control oriented platform. But yeah, ABB is known for large DCS type control systems as well as big power setups as well too.
That's cool.
What you're doing makes sense. Like integrators are a little more agile. You know, they're probably easier to get a hold of the right folks, less hoops to jump through to get sponsorship from. So that totally makes sense.
Yeah, and honestly, if it doesn't work out, I'll just like worst comes to worst, I'll just say, you know, we reached out to Inductive for an interview, but they, you know, they weren't able to coordinate it or whatever. You know, because like I guess some people might look at that and make it seem like, or, you know, I'm putting undue pressure on them. But really, though, I'm not. I mean, this is a permissionless environment that I'm operating in. Like, I don't really need anyone's permission to go create a documentary, right? I don't need anyone's permission to. I mean, obviously, I need permission to go into Alan Bradley's headquarters and interview someone, but I don't need permission to ask them to put that out there, right?
Right.
Or to say, hey, you know, Aviva. Why'd you guys pull my ticket for Aviva World North America in November, you know, or in Orlando?
Yeah.
Like, why?
And to an extent, you don't necessarily need to call out those groups. It's your documentary. It's your preference. I mean, you can just end up highlighting the folks that accept you.
Be like, I think for the documentary, I may not do that, but the Aviva thing, I was more so specifically, I actually had just made a video yesterday because, you know, I've been doing a lot of the Aviva conferences and, you know, they recently launched tickets for their, and maybe this is bad me even saying it, but I don't really care because this is the truth. You know, I've done a lot of work with Aviva. I went to Rockwell Automation Fair. I've gone to Siemens things. So I really do try to give everyone in the industry equal opportunity to have content coverage. Mm-hmm. And then they like essentially said that the media badges were full. And so even though I had booked the ticket 2 weeks ago yesterday or 2 days ago, they emailed me and saying that I don't no longer have a ticket. And so I was like, wow, it almost kind of just made me feel like a slap in the face. You know, it's like, well, maybe they don't like what I'm doing, or maybe one or two people in that company don't like what I'm doing. And then they were able to make that decision. But it's like, well, I can't help but feel I'm still going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm actually still talking to Aviva here in Irvine, which I have I think it's part of that's due to the Aviva and Schneider Electric kind of duality. They're maybe not fully integrated yet, but it's interesting. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm just trying to be, I'm really trying to help change the industry and help bring these companies and communities together, because I think at the end of the day, we're all aligned for the same goal. I mean, maybe some of us aren't, but I think it's pretty like obvious, like, profit is not going to make you happy nowadays. Like, it's fulfillment.
Well, I think, what's really going to make, this is just my opinion, but what I feel is really what's going to make these companies stick out in the long run is the people and the individuals that they have working for them. Like right now, you know, I'm an unofficial, you know, at a very small level, an unofficial face of Rockwell Automation. And the more people like myself that, whether it's Rockwell, whether it's, you know, insert automation company here that's pulling them in, that's sharing their messages in a more approachable, authentic fashion. I think that's what, you know, I'm talking like 5-10 years down the line, as we have more baby boomers retiring, as we have more millennials, Gen Z coming into the workforce, that's what's going to start differentiating some of these companies from others, you know. And that's partially just from like a marketing and branding standpoint, because all of these companies are still going to need to deliver good solutions. They're still going to have to stay cutting edge with connected enterprise, Industry 4.0, you're talking about. But it'll be interesting to see.
Because I mean, it definitely plays an effect. Maybe there's one, like I think you said, you hit the nail on the head with the people of automation, right? I have a relationship with you. You're, you know, you said a face, or let's call it an influencer for automation, Rockwell Automation specifically, but also just yourself and your own personal brand, and you know, helping, you know, sell solutions to your customers. So like, even though maybe like I like that Aviva is implementing MQTT with SparkPlug B, right? And maybe Rockwell's not, but Aviva also like just slapped me in the, you know, like they didn't invite me to a conference, but Rockwell Automation, I had an interview with at the headquarters, and like, they really were embracing of what it is that I'm trying to do. So it's like, oh, wow. They have that going for them. So I don't know. That's just an example, right?
People do
business with people they know, like, and trust.
Right. And I try to emphasize one of Rockwell's big things, and I think this applies to any B2B business or any industry as a whole, but they talk about expanding human possibility. And when I think about what people are looking for when they're looking for an automation partner or any industrial partner for that matter, they're looking for people that they can relate with. So if people aren't getting out there and doing things like this and helping and being vulnerable to them and helping them get to know who they are and, you know, what type of people this company employs, you know, that's all part of the work. Right. That's part of the selling process. That's part of
At the end of the day, I don't really care the logo on the software box of my software that runs my SCADA, whether that's Rockwell or Aviva. What I care about is, like, you know, Mike Lapaton was the guy who helped me set it up properly, you know, or Chris Lukey had me on Manufacturing Happy Hour, right? Like, that's what we actually care about.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's almost like a utility, right? A lot of these players create a product that works at the end of the day. It does what it entails, right? There's differences in the way that they go to market or business strategies or video content. But so I think relationships will win in Industry 4.0.
For sure. I completely agree. I think when people, I think people are finally starting to realize that the human element is the biggest thing associated with Industry 4.0. Like, you can have the best technology around, but if you don't have someone that has a good vision, that has a good strategy, if you don't have the right technical talent to implement it and maintain it, then every benefit you can get from the technology is not going to be there.
What would you say is the biggest hurdle for companies that are looking to digitally transform in a connected enterprise?
Biggest challenge for companies looking to digitally transform a connected enterprise, I would say being able to articulate the business result they're trying to get. I think that's where it all starts. One great example I've seen of like digital transformation, Industry 4.0, connected enterprise, or leveraging the latest technologies to address the biggest problems is a public case study. GlobalFoundries, large semiconductor company, partnered with PTC, whom Rockwell works with, on I want to make sure I get it right. It's an expert capture capability that they have within Vuforia, where they are able to leverage AR technology and VR technology to capture the experiences and like the standard operating procedures of their most senior workers, whom, let's say, within 5 years are going to retire.
Wow.
You know, so they're using the latest technology to address one of the biggest issues in manufacturing, which is the skills gap and the a potential workforce shortage if there aren't people to take these jobs that baby boomers have had for decades. And the results they've seen from implementing that technology is they've been able to, if I want to make sure I get my numbers right, but it's like 10x they're able to get standard operating procedures created 10 times quicker than they used to be, and they're able to reduce the amount of time employees are in training by 50%. So that's a scenario where you can articulate the results, you know what the challenge is, and it's one of the biggest challenges facing manufacturing, and you've got the technology that's able to address it. And I think a lot of companies have trouble putting that whole picture together. They're either thinking of just, what these new, shiny technologies that are out and what they can do, or they're thinking of, just their challenges, and they're not really trying to put a number around what does heaven look like? What does like a good result for us look like? So I would say the biggest challenge you run into is putting those three pieces together. What's the challenge? What are the results we need? And then finally, and lastly, what are the technologies that we need to put together for that?
Yeah, like why,
that was
how,
a very long
why,
way
how, and
your question.
Why, how, and what, or something?
Kind of right? What? Yeah, the end result, I'd say.
So it's interesting because this is my latest obsession. Is I have identified, very much like you, a gap in the marketplace where video is not being leveraged by industrial side of technology, industrial automation, mm-hmm. industry 4.0. They haven't quite bridged that gap like the consumer technology has. And so I'm helping be yep. that driving force. And really, this is where I actually get a lot of critics is like, they're like, Zach, you don't really even talk about industry 4.0. It's like, right, because that's the industry I really came from. It's the industry that I still serve, but really my focus is the video side of it. And using that video yeah. to help companies mm-hmm. tell their story, for me to tell my own story, yeah. right? I'm a living example of digital transformation of what it can mm-hmm. do, right? So, and I've used this example before, like you're not talking to me right now, you're talking to the digital twin of Zach Scriven, because this Zoom, this YouTube live stream, this podcast, mm-hmm. RSS feed, all this is empowered digitally, right? Not this is not a telegraph right. that you're listening to, right? This is a digital twin. Mm-hmm. Look at what it's been able to do for my own personal enterprise, right? I have a connected enterprise. Like yeah. I can travel across the United States, create video content, bring my family, tell an interesting story, connect with viewers, connect yeah. with fans, that's what it's all about, right? So that's why I want to be the personal example of that and to help industry mm-hmm. tell their stories and adopt video quicker, because it's going to help them create a bigger impact.
For sure. And I was just talking to someone earlier today about how easy it is to leverage video in this day and age, a new account manager at our company. And what I usually tell a new account manager coming in, a new salesperson coming in, I say, look, there are sales techniques, there are sales best practices, yes, but there's no one single way to sell. Like, learn what works for you, learn what your strengths are. Like, and it won't happen overnight. It's going to take years. Like, I'm 32, I'm still learning, but right. I have at least a better perception of the things that I do well now and the things that my customers value. And I'm able to focus on those mm-hmm. and not focus on some of my weaknesses and the things that don't necessarily serve me when I'm doing my job out in the industry.
Thanks so much, man. Any last words before we talk to Mike Lapiton?
Oh man. Good luck as you get rolling on the road trip. I'm excited to see the content that comes out as you're going through, and one way or another, I know you and I will be connecting on said trip, whether that's here in San Francisco, whether it's virtually as we're both traveling around. But soon enough, we need to have a beer again sometime.
Yes. Yes. Like we did in Philadelphia. I was just thinking, I'm like, have we actually ever met before? My VR and RR
yeah.
lines were getting a little blurred there for a second.
Mm-hmm. I think it was like the Ben Franklin Lounge or something yeah. really Philadelphia, where we had a cocktail after
that was
the
good,
show.
That was good.
So we did in fact do that. But yes, we there will be another beverage in our future, no doubt. So I would just say
Rockwell Automation Fair, where can we get tickets? Where is it going to be this year? Chicago?
It's in Chicago. So it is, it's Chicago's always our biggest event. Just, it's so central. Like whether you're flying from the West Coast, East Coast, there's pretty much a direct flight to Chicago from wherever you go.
What days are it?
It is, I think, let me double check. I believe the 20th and 21st of November. Thanksgiving is really late this year.
Oh, you know,
it's always
what?
Like the week before it.
It's interesting because I had something booked those days, but my calendar has just recently opened up, so I might be able to make it those days.
So I will say, so it's the 20th and 21st, Wednesday and Thursday of November. Mm-hmm. But that Tuesday, November 19th, we're going to do the third annual Manufacturing Happy Hour Automation Fair pre-party.
Dude, I'm fucking gone. This is a blessing. The Aviva thing was a blessing in disguise. So now I'm just going to go to that. Yeah. So
I was going to say this year will be bigger than last year. And we're going to do a few more things that we haven't done. It's typically been a happy hour, but I don't want to give away the surprise yet, but expect a little
listening. Maybe I could do both. Maybe I can go to Rockwell Automation Fair, do the manufacturing happy hour, then go to Orlando and, I want to go to Aviva World too. You know, I mean, it's really exciting listening to the changes in the technologies, so I can help convey that to my audience. And, so anyways, that's why I do it. So thanks, Chris.
No problem. Thanks, Zach. I'll talk to you soon.
Peace.
Bye.